Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take final roll.
29 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Moss, Randolph, and Hurlburt are excused from the call today. Representative Bettisworth is excused until playing time.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Zaroff be excused from the call of the House April 14th.
There's no objection. Representative Zaroff will be excused on April 14th.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Fuller be excused from the call of the House April 10th.
There's no objection. Representative Fuller will be excused on April 10th.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative McKinnon be excused from the call of the House April 18th.
There's no objection. Representative McKinnon will be excused on April 18th. The prayer today is by Pastor Curtis McLean of the Glacier Valley Baptist Church. Will the members please rise for today's prayer?
Dear Lord Jesus, I'm made aware of the great triangle of prayers. First, we ought always to pray to you, and so often we fail in this side of prayer. Second, we ought always to pray for one another. And since we often fail to pray to you, we likewise fail to pray for one another as we should. But the third side of prayer is Jesus Christ prays for us, and this he never fails to do. In Luke 22:31, it says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Help us, Lord, to bring up to par our prayer life, that we may be congruent with the master of life and the master plan of life. Amen.
Will the chief clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 86th day and House Supplement number 43.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 86th day and House Supplement number 43 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
If there's no objection, the journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread on the journal. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Galrier, I'd like to introduce two constituents of Representative Montgomery and myself. Thelma Langdon, who is the president of the State Board of Education, and I also see Heather Flynn.
There are further guests for introduction this morning. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative O'Connell, and I have a constituent in Gallery B, resident in the Kenai Peninsula, who's the Public Works Director in the City of Soldotna, Mr. Phil Aber.
Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Free Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 161, Alaska Permanent Fund, Non-Renewable Resource Revenues to Legislative Oversight and Providing for an Effective Date, Chapter 18, SLA 1980. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Freeman. House Police Sanity. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed House Joint Resolution No. 70, Operations at Bush Airports in Alaska, with the following amendment. Page 2, line 28, after the word stall, insert freight. And so House Joint Resolution No. 70, amended Senate, is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted herewith for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 447, amended by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to shooting and firearm safety and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There is a communication from Thomas K. Williams, Commissioner from the Department of Revenue. enclosing a supply of federal applications for automatic extension of time to file U.S. individual income tax returns. This has been placed in each member's mailbox. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 764, establishing the Alaska Student Leadership Association, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Parker, Gardner, and Martin. House Bill 764 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 765, a special appropriation to Department of Education for the Alaska Student Leadership Association, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Parker, Fuller, and Gardner. Having no recommendation, Eliason and Martin. House Bill 765 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 778 relating to the taxation of electric cooperatives under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 778 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Munson, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Halford, Osterbach, Randolph, and Brown. House Bill 778 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 865, Civil Liability for Personal Injuries or Death Occurring on Unimproved Land, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass, and a fiscal note will be coming. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Barnes, O'Connell, Buchholz, Anderson, Malone, and Parr. House Bill 865 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 915, Special Appropriation for Marine Mammal Management and Research, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 915 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, signing do pass, Fuller, Osterbach, and Jaroff. Signing no recommendation, Eliason and Miles. Signing do not pass, Carney, Halford, and Chatterton. House Bill 915 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 969, Salmon Fisheries Enhancement, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 969 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, signing do pass, Miles, Carney, Fuller, and Osterbach. Signing do not pass, Chatterton. No recommendation, Jaroff. House Bill 969 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Amy Lou Barney by Representatives Miller and Duncan. House Concurrent Resolution 65 by the House Labor and Management Committee requesting the Governor to endorse the United States Department of Labor's decision to establish a Job Corps Center in the state.
Labor and Management.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 998 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act establishing a residential medical care program for children needing continuous medical care.
Hess.
House Bill 999 by the Rules Committee by request of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, an act relating to the processing of permits by state agencies and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
House Bill 1000 by the Judiciary Committee, an act allowing municipalities to prescribe offenses related to the use, possession, or control of marijuana and providing for an effective date.
I think some applause is in order for Representative Eliason on this 1000th bill. Judiciary.
House Bill 1000 by the Labor and 1001 by the Labor and Management Committee by request, an act relating to the conduct of activities by labor unions in the state.
Labor and Management.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to today's calendar, Representative Anderson.
Can we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, it's been pointed out to me by the Rules Committee Chairman that the printed version of the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 199 is not in our packets. and has asked that this be held over until that legislation is ready for a review. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move to hold committee substitute for Senate Bill 199 over as the first item on tomorrow's calendar.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 199 will be held over second reading till tomorrow's calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 447, amended by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the definition of municipal bonds under the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority Act and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 447 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 447 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Freeman, Guy, Montgomery, and Haugen. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 447 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Finance Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 447 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 447 will be engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 447 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the definition of municipal bonds under the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority Act and providing for an effective date.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give an explanation of the bill. The bill simply provides in its present form, the House Finance Committee substitute version, that the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank may purchase bonds of a borough that are guaranteed by a service area of the borough. And it came about having to do with a bond issue in my district, Central Kenai Peninsula Hospital bond issue. The bond bank's charter at present allows them to buy bonds of boroughs that are secured by the full faith and credit of the borough, but not bonds of a service area. And so this change is necessary in order to allow the borough to sell the bonds to the bond bank. In the past, bonds of the service area have been sold to bond buyers. They are well-secured bonds. But at present, of course, the Kenai Peninsula Borough, like the other municipalities in the state that have lids on their bond issues, in order to issue these bonds and provide for the necessary construction, are going to have to sell the bonds to the Alaska Bond Bank under the emergency program that was adopted by the legislature to allow the municipalities' planned construction to go ahead this year. So that's all the bill does in its present form, and I would ask the members to approve it so that the planned improvements can take place this year.
Is there further debate? The question for the House is the final passage of House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 447. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
31 yeas, no nays.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 447 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 447 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call in the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item.
House Bill number 966 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to meetings by teleconference. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 966 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Martin, Metcalf, Fuller, and Gardner. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 966 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. There is objection.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative O'Connell. House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Is there objection maintained to the motion to advance the third reading? There's no Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before we go to third reading, I'd like to ask one question. I just was trying to ask Mr. Miller, but maybe you can answer for everybody. In the bill at line 10-11, we're talking about reasonable public notice of the places where the meeting will be held by teleconference has been given. I was wondering, does that include the place where the committee that's holding the hearing or the assembly or whoever it is will be, and of all the places where people may come to testify? I wasn't really clear on that.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sure it's the intent. Unfortunately, Mr. Brown is ill today, he was the original draft here, but I'm positive that it's the intent that not only the place where the assembly, for instance, would be sitting, or where a state board would be sitting, but in addition, the places, because it is plural, the places where people could go to actually give their testimony. It's perhaps valuable that that the member raise this question so it can be on the record. If he would feel more comfortable, I don't think there would be any objection to adding the words places and teleconference stations, for instance. But I think it's clearly the intent that the notice would have to be given not only of where the particular board or assembly or whatever was sitting, but the places where the constituents could go to testify. And as I say, if he wants to take the time for an amendment, I don't think there would be any problem on that, but we can clearly establish it on the record that we're talking about more than just the place where the board itself sits.
Representative McKinnon.
I'd like to ask another question. There's in paragraph H, we require that one of the teleconferencing sites be located in the political subdivision. Is there any restriction for state agencies on whether or not one of the sites will be located in the state, or does it require all sites to be located in the state? Or, I mean, can an agency hold a meeting outside the state under the provisions of this and make it legal by teleconferencing back to Alaska?
Representative Miller.
Well, I don't know that you would want to restrict it to the state of Alaska. Right now, we've got teleconference hookups in, for instance, Washington, D.C., and if we wanted to extend it so that somebody with something to say, or even an Alaska constituent, for instance, one of the two senators or a congressman, wanted to give official testimony at the meeting, I don't think we'd want to restrict them from doing so. Right now, outside of the state of Alaska, Washington, D.C. is the only place where the teleconference stations exist, and I would, you know, kind of presume for the foreseeable future that is the only place, but I wouldn't think we'd want to restrict it to the borders of the state, and I don't think this does. It just right now, if a board, for instance, wanted to go outside the state of Alaska and hold an official meeting, I can't think of what circumstances that might be desirable, but if there was a good reason, I'm sure they could right now, and I don't think we'd probably want to put any additional restrictions on them.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Same thought question occurred to me as occurred to Representative McKinnon. For instance, there was one agency of the state, I don't know whether it's an agency or whether it's an institution or what it is, that held a meeting outside the state to gain some notoriety, the Bar Association. And it might not be a bad idea to put that provision in the bill that if it's a meeting of a state agency or an agency created by state law, that one of the sites be within the state.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I don't really care on the thing, except we don't have that restriction presently in the state, in the other requirements for meetings. And it seems to me like if you were going to put it in one place, we ought to go back to the whole basic notice of meeting laws and make it across the board rather than just patch it in on this one teleconference setup. Because as a matter of fact, right now all the teleconference stations in the state are located in within the state, except the two that are the three that are in Washington D.C.
Is there Representative Parr?
We have a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand. Please read the amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Parr. Page 1, line 11. After "and," add the following: of the teleconference stations at which persons may testify.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? If there's no objection, the amendment is adopted. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. O'Connell. Page 1, line 14. Add new subparagraph 3. Copies of pertinent reference and backup materials, statutes, and similar visual materials are immediately available to all teleconference sites.
Representative O'Connell.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I understand it, the purpose of this bill is to make it so that public meetings, official public meetings of various municipalities or any political subdivision can be held not in one spot but at various teleconference sites. And if people, either the general public or the official participants, are to be expected to make intelligent contributions at each of these various locations, they need to be assured that they have the necessary resources right there. Normally, at a public meeting, the municipal attorney or all of the backup materials are immediately available. If we're going to have public meetings held by teleconference over possibly widespread locations, possibly remote locations, it seems to me there's a danger that people at some of those sites are going to be at a very distinct disadvantage if they don't have the necessary materials there, particularly copies of the statutes. If someone comes in to offer testimony with graphs and charts and whatnot, obviously it isn't going to work to have those things explained over a teleconference network. That's the thrust of what I'm trying to suggest in this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, my objection is only temporary. I'm going to remove it in a second. I just wanted to say that I personally see nothing wrong with the amendment, and I think it's consistent with what Mr. Brown had in mind. So I'm going to remove my objection, but I did want to say that I think what I'll do is give notice of reconsideration when the bill passes, so that if Mr. Brown, who is the author of the bill, sees something that perhaps the rest of us do not see, he'll have an opportunity to present his thoughts to us. With that, I'll remove objection, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further objection, Representative Malone?
Speaker, I don't think this constitutes an objection to the proposed amendment, but it's just a question. Maybe I need to go back and ask what the effect of this bill is as far as teleconference meetings go. Now, right now, the legislature, for example, holds meetings using the teleconference system. The committee meets in Juneau or Anchorage or Fairbanks or Bethel or wherever. Committee's all in one place, but the participants in the meeting may be at any of the teleconference locations within the state. So if the effect of the amendment is to preclude the entire meeting of the types that we're holding now, because some teleconference station may not have all the copies of all the information that someone else at another site may discuss, and that sometimes is not even in the possession of the committee itself when it's holding the meeting, then I think there would be a problem with the amendment. So I guess that before I know whether I have an objection or not, I would need to know whether the criteria, the provisions that we're putting in here, items 1, 2, and now a new subsection 3, would apply to the present type of teleconferenced hearings that we hold, where the committee itself is meeting all in one place, and it's only the public or other participants that may be in other locations.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I might mention that we're really not talking about legislative teleconferences on here. We're not in the legislative title. We're in Title 44, and what we're amending is the agency meetings and the rules under which agencies of the state hold meetings. So it, you know, it bears sort of on the legislature, and I think generally speaking, what you know, what's good for the agency is good for the legislature, and what practices are good for the agencies are good for the legislature. But we're really not amending the legislative statutes. We're amending the statutes relative to the administration. Now, as Mr. Brown explained it to the committee, if one of the state agencies empowered to hold hearings, for instance, relative to regulations, or to do any other thing they're empowered to do, were to hold a meeting, and by teleconference, without the specific authorization which this particular bill gives us, that meeting or that regulation may or may not stand up in court as being valid. And it was the fear that that it would not stand up in court that prompted him to introduce this legislation. By passing the legislation, of course, that removes any question as to its validity. We will have specifically told agencies that they can use the teleconference setup to hold their meetings, and in the process, of course, save lots of travel dollars.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank Mr. Miller for the explanation. I would suggest then that the use of the teleconference system or teleconference meetings by the legislature be addressed separately, perhaps in the uniform rules of the Alaska legislature. And I think the amendments proposed is a good one. I have no objection.
Is there objection maintained? The House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Okay, we have amendment number 2 before us. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to make a slight correction on what I said a minute ago. This bill does apply to the legislature. My understanding just from the testimony at the meeting was that it did not, but the bill 44, I mean the statute 4462.310, which we're amending, does say that it applies to a legislative body as well as Board of Regents, administrative bodies, board, commissions, committees, etc. So it does apply. I still think Mr. Malone's suggestion that we incorporate it into the joint rules is an excellent one, and we should address that separately when we address the next rules changes, but this will apply to the legislature.
Is there objection maintained to amendment number 2? If there's no further objection, amendment number 2 is adopted. Are there further amendments? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 966, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill number 966, as amended by the House, will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill on third reading.
House Bill number 966, amended by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to meetings by teleconference.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I favor this bill as a step forward. I don't know that it's a big enough step yet, but I've always been bothered when we have regulations being promulgated or they announce that there'll be one hearing in either Anchorage or Juneau on one day, and then immediately after that the board may go ahead and, or the commission or whoever it is, may go ahead and adopt the regulations. And that the current price of travel to Juneau, that really knocks out a lot of my constituents from testifying unless they send a letter. And I don't really believe, with all due respect to the people on the various in the various agencies, that letters carry the weight that personal testimony does. And so I would hope that this might make it possible for a number of agencies to at least have teleconference hearings when before they adopt regulations, so those people in other parts of the state can testify. I know, for example, now that the Human Rights Commission has regulations, and one part of those regulations, at least as we learned in Judiciary Committee, is very controversial. And they only had planned one public hearing, which was to be in Anchorage on April 26th. I have sort of insisted that they at least have a hearing in Fairbanks. And that doesn't take care of the folks in Juneau or Nome or other places. And I hope that in the future there will be very few regulations that have had only one public hearing in one place with only those people who were able to afford to get down there able to testify.
Question for the House of the final passage of House Bill number 966, amended by the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 3 nays.
The House has passed House Bill number 966, as amended by the House. Clerk, please read the next item. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, as a courtesy to Mr. Brown, I'm going to serve notice of reconsideration.
Representative Miller's notice of reconsideration is noted. Clerk, please read the next item.
House Bill 782 by Malone and Rogers, an act relating to local service roads and trails. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 782 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 782 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, Metcalf, Gardner, and Martin. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill number 782 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill number 782 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 782 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 782 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to local service roads and trails.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Give a short explanation of the bill, try to answer questions that members may have, but the purpose of the legislation as drafted is to grant to local governments which have assumed local road powers increased authority and responsibility over the local road criteria for the expenditure of the state local service road and trail program funds. And the main effects of these amendments, if adopted for the program, would be first to remove the discretionary authority of the commissioner of DOT to withhold program money from qualified local governments, and remove also the power to mandate project agreements between the department and local governments concerning the construction of projects for those municipalities that have assumed local road powers. Secondly, local governments which have adopted local road powers would have the responsibility for the design standards, the rights-of-way widths, etc., on local roads that aren't part of the state system, not the commissioner of the Department of Transportation. Now, in areas where the local government does not have that authority, the responsibility would remain with the commissioner. A third set of changes that the bill makes, and I think are important to the program, is it allows the use of the program funds for the purchase the necessary right-of-ways for road projects as well as so-called royalty payments, which are actually payments for materials, which isn't clear in the current law. And the reason for the last change is that the last two changes are that right-of-way costs are prohibited from being acquired using program funds, but right-of-way costs and road projects are a necessary part of the project expenditures. And there have been roads that have been on the program for years in areas where local governments don't have the road authority. The commissioner is barred from spending any of the program funds to acquire perhaps a very small amount of right-of-way. Local government, not having the road authority, can't acquire the right-of-way either. So the project just sits there, and in spite of the fact it might be a fairly high priority road, nothing happens on it until either some land swap or something else can be arranged. That's basically what the bill does. In the State Affairs Committee, the Department of Transportation did offer a number of amendments, all of which were incorporated in the legislation forming the committee substitute that's before the House now. I'd be glad to try to answer specific questions that members may have. One final comment. As a result of the changes allowing the program funds to be expended on right-of-way acquisition and materials payment, the department estimates that in their proposed expenditure program that something on the order of a little over $1 million a year would run into those cost items. And they did, in fact, prepare a fiscal note on the legislation. However, the purpose of the legislation is not to increase the total amount of funding for the program, but only to make it operate more smoothly. And so I think that what we need to do regarding the funding is to see what the effect of the changes in the law are. At some future date, the legislature may wish to increase the biannual level of appropriations for this program. But to carry out the purpose of the bill, no additional funding is necessary.
Representative Phillips.
Through the chair to Mr. Malone, on page 4, section 13, subsection B, it's my feeling that a report should be supplied to the legislators, seeing that this affects their individual districts, and I, as a legislator, would like to know what the status of these projects are within at least my district. And I just want to ask, is there a rationale for deleting reports being sent to each individual legislator?
Representative Malone.
Ms. Speaker, I wasn't aware that we're deleting such a section of the law. In fact, I'm not sure that it exists. What the section of the bill that was referred to does is provide for an accounting, first of the funds that local governments with road powers have obtained under the program, and secondly, an accounting of the status of the projects that the department itself is responsible for, that information would be available to the governor and become part of the overall budget process. I do envision that the information is going to be available to the legislature, since the request for funding for the program, which normally is done every 2 years, I presume would be based on the how much money the program has been able to use in the out of the prior appropriation. So I do think that the information is going to be available to the legislature. It's public information and would normally appear in the backup material submitted with the budget.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, may we have an entities, please?
House Police Entities. Will the House please come back to order?
Oh.
The question before the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 782. Question for the House, final passage, committee substitute for House Bill number 782. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Excuse me. 31 yeas, no nays.
The House has passed House Bill 782. Representative Rogers.
I'd like to bring up my notice of reconsideration on committee substitute for House Bill 866.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 866, amended by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to special individual traction permits. I have proposed amendment number 3 on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rogers.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent we return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment.
Will the clerk please read the specific amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Rogers. Page 1, line 26. Add new section 2. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 11070C. Page 1, line 7. After permits, add, comma, and semicolon, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, if we adopt this amendment and the other body takes expeditious action, it will mean the school buses won't have to have traction permits for this year.
Is there a further objection to the motion? If there's no further objection, we've returned to second reading. Representative Rogers.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Rogers. Page 1, line 26. Add new section 2. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 11070C. Page 1, line 7. After permits, add semicolon and providing for an effective date.
Is there objection to the motion to adopt amendment number 3? If there's no objection, amendment number 3 is adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 866, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 866 is amended, will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 866, amended by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to special individual traction permits and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 866. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
31 yeas, one nay.
The House has passed House Bill 866 on reconsideration. Representative Anderson.
Do we have a brief at ease, please?
House Police at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 866 amended be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on the final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. That completes today's calendar, brings us to unfinished business. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 782.
Representative Carney's notice of reconsideration is noted on House Bill 782. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, members should have in their limbo packets House Joint Resolution number 70. Came across from the Senate with an amendment. The prime sponsor has no objection to the word change, and is So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendment to House Joint Resolution Number 70, thus adopting House Joint Resolution Number 70, amended by the Senate, and I recommend that House members vote yes.
Will clerk please read the resolution by title?
House Joint Resolution Number 70, amended Senate, by Hurlburt, Helfert, Anderson, Barnes, Brown, Freeman, Fuller, Haugen, Hayes, McKinnon, Malone, Martin, Miles, Miller, Montgomery, Moss, Munson, Osterbach, Randolph, Rogers, Jaroff, and Gardner, relating to operations at Bush airports in Alaska.
Question for the House is the motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution Number 70. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
32 yeas, no nays.
The House has adopted Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution Number 7. I would ask the members to leave their bill packets on their desk today rather than throw them away, since several bills that are in your packet are going to be on tomorrow's calendar or reconsidered. Under unfinished business, the House failed to adopt the Senate amendments on House Bill Number 446, which is the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. The Senate's already appointed a Free Conference Committee. At this time, I'd like to appoint the House Free Conference Committee, Representative Buchholz, Chairman, Representative Brown, and Representative Byrne. The Senate Free Conference Committee is Senator Sturgiluski, Senator Bennett, and Senator Fahrenkamp. Are there other items of unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Rogers.
Labor and Management will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the House Resources Room. We'll be taking up House Bill 859, Extended Benefits, House Concurrent Resolution Number 65 on the Job Corps Center, confirmations which are remaining before the committee, a new piece of legislation concerning the Second Injury Fund, and if we have time, we'll look at House Bill 1001 on labor halls.
Representative Meekins.
Excuse me. The Finance Committee will meet immediately after adjournment in House Finance Room to discuss the problem with the $40 million with the federal funds that the federal government has disallowed the state to use, that we're going to be used for road projects this summer, and what our options are. That meeting shouldn't take too long. The sooner the members get there, the more time we'll have for lunch. And then after lunch, depending on what time we get out, either 1:30 or 2 o'clock, hopefully 1:30, we'll start the health budget, go through the health budget, and if we finish that this afternoon, we'll start on the education budget.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, tomorrow at noon in the Butrovich Room, the Anchorage delegation is invited to meet with the members of the Anchorage Assembly to discuss couple of things, public school foundation funding and the wind damage in Anchorage. It'll be teleconference to the Anchorage station. Some of the assembly members will be here and some will be in Anchorage. So bring your lunch and tomorrow at noon at the Butrovich Room.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, State Affairs Committee will meet today at 1:30. Two bills, House Bill 510, Special Appropriation CRA for the Iliamna New Wayland Electrical Co-op, House Bill 514, increasing the minimum benefits for retired legislators.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary meet at 3 this afternoon. House Bill 567, public drunkenness and emergency treatment of intoxicated persons. And House Bill 454, pricing of alcoholic beverages. And the committee will meet again at 7:30 tonight on House Bill 479, revising the drug laws of the state.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock to review the subcommittee work on the geothermal and hydro bills and possibly House Bill 118 if time permits. I'll then meet at 7 o'clock in the Resources Committee room to begin taking testimony on coal exploration leasing bill, House Bill 955.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, the HES Committee will consider House Bill 545, amending child protection laws, House Bill 922, child care costs for foster homes, and House Bill 704, Purchase of Social Services by the State. And Mr. Speaker, for tomorrow, I'd like to give advance notice to the members who want to listen into testimonies by two cancer researchers who will be here in Juneau. And Dr. Shaus and Dr. Manor will both testify before our committee about 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I forgot to announce, it's not on the calendar, but tonight we will also be taking up House Bill 1000 by deference to Mr. Lyson's gone, an act allowing municipalities to prescribe offenses related to the use, possession, and control of marijuana.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee on the Election Code Revision will meet at 6:30 this evening in State Affairs for a teleconference.
Representative Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Free Conference Committee on House Bill 645 will meet at 1:30 in Senator Sumner's office.
Where was that located at?
Senator Sumner's office.
Okay. There are further announcements. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to thank members of the House. Our Sergeant of Arms informed me that $100 was collected for flowers and for Pappy Moss, and kind of a basic decision has been made. Rather than just put all that money in for flowers, that some of it ought to go toward a gift. And if there's no objection to doing that, we're going to be getting a card for him, for all of us to sign, and some flowers and a gift in addition. And just wanted to announce that and thank members of the body for their generous contributions.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Free Conference Committee on House Bill 599 will meet in Senator Ray's office at 1:45. It's on the domestication of buffalo and muskox and reindeer.
Members may remember that on the floor. There's special orders. Representative Anderson. Oops. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under special orders, I'd like to comment or offer a comment on a story in yesterday's Anchorage Times, Tuesday evening, April 8. One of the headlines on that page, Mr. Speaker, is a story, headline of a storytelling of a report by the Commonwealth North Group. Report tells state to act on Prudhoe Bay natural gas. And of course, the state is in the process of working on that question. But my comment is this, Mr. Speaker, is that I hope in the consideration of any commitment of the state's natural gas, royalty natural gas stream from the North Slope, for whatever purposes are deemed best by the legislature and by the governor, that we do take into account that royalty gas is probably the only gas that we may have available for in-state use for consumption in Alaska, specifically space heating. I think that the people in the legislature are aware that natural gas at present is underpriced, that there'll be a lot more competition for the purchase of natural gas in the future, and that the price itself is likely to be driven up. But irrespective of that, I think it would be a very sad situation if the state's natural gas stream from the North Slope, the royalty gas, were committed under long-term contracts and inaccessible for basic uses within the state, including space heating, which is one of the most efficient fuels available for that purpose. And I think that in any commitment of any portion of the royalty gas by the state of Alaska, that we absolutely have to reserve the amount that will be needed in state in the rail belt area at a minimum for space heating purposes. And I hope that all the groups that are working on that question keep that in mind.
Further special orders. Representative Anderson.
I move that the House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.